Welcome to the Penny Bloom Podcast. Ain't another place that has got more bombast. Romp past your mom that's listening to Tomcast. Talking everything that make you sad. We don't want that. We're here to make you smile. Put your mind at ease. Peace, love, and bloom. And always praise Keanu Reeves. This what we about. Get some weed and now. We'll talk until we can't no more. And then we peacing out. Alright, let's go. Penny Bloom Podcast. It's the Penny Bloom Podcast. Penny Bloom Podcast. Penny Bloom Podcast. Penny Bloom Podcast. Penny Bloom Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to the Penny Bloom Podcast. Today, we continue our coverage of the third and final season of The Bad Batch. It's season 3, episode 13, titled Into the Reach. I'm Colton Robertson. I'm joined by Joseph George. What's up, homie?
Oh, what up, what up? Always a pleasure to be here.
Oh, and it's always a pleasure to have you. We got a fun show ahead. We're going to do our typical Bad Batch discussion, and then at the end, after we do the little plugs, we're going to go ahead and give you our music of the week. Me and Joe both pick an album of the week on Fridays, and we slide it your way. So that'll be at the end of the show. Yeah, man, another great episode of The Bad Batch. It's astonishing how this show refuses to miss. And I feel like in season 3 particularly, I've never really thought that the show's missed. There has been a general perception that the show has missed on certain episodes. Not this season, but in seasons past. I've not seen a single one of those this season. There's not a single one where I think you could argue, besides maybe episode 2, which was still essential because it was Hunter and Wrecker looking for Omega. Like, you need that. We're not just going to skip over that. Mm-hmm. So, like, we haven't had a single week where I feel like I've gotten to, like, kick back, relax, rest. We're having a good fucking time, and it's tense. And this week, more tense than most. God damn, how are you feeling?
Finally. The return of Echo. I was like, thank fuck. Whenever that ship came down, opening up, it's one dude. One dude on, you know, nobody else is with him. It doesn't matter. It's Echo. And then we get the bare bones suits again, which is, or their armor, which is pretty cool. And, you know, strategically, so they blend in a little bit more. They stick out even so, even with it. But I thought it was really cool to see the return of the OG armor, and then Echo being back. I don't know. That was really nice. But then the Omega, you know, in the little testing room, the starts of the breakout, you know, already. It reminded me of Andor-esque, the music too. Man, the Kyners, another consistent,
never miss.
They just never miss, ever.
No.
And they really, I don't know, that was whenever I noticed it very clearly was in those scenes with Omega. But, yeah, just, I guess, they know where to, or they're on the way, you know? That's all that kind of happened. They needed to find Tantus. They found Tantus. They're on the way.
You were just a couple weeks early with that they'll board the ship and they'll get there that way theory, you know? It was just a couple weeks early. They managed it this week, but no, I absolutely loved it. I was terrified that we were losing Echo at the end. I was certain. I was like, no fucking way, he lives.
And get eyes on that. You know, he's checking in. It looked a few scares. Yeah,
Then he survives that. But then I'm also like, they're not going to attach in time. This thing's going to jump into hyperspace. What the fuck are we going to do? Like, the way that the end of this episode got my blood pumping was just kind of like, holy shit.
We've never seen what would you call this maneuver? To, like, you know, Han did it to, like, hide, you know, to, like, you know, whatever, and he escaped in trash, and then he goes in an asteroid. Like, we've seen like that. Yeah. But, like, we've never seen a last second to hyper, you know, to come in undetected.
Buzzer beater.
Man, yeah. So many things were going there. The location's unknown. This is the only way they're doing it. It's now or never. Like, Hunter, this is the, I guess, the moment where Hunter's like, I forget. Is he like negative? Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah. Oh, when he's just.
Well, what's funny too is that I noticed that. I think in the little clip, it's no. I think he goes no in the trailer teaser thing, and he says negative in this. But it's also a clone voice telling him to abort the mission in the teaser,
and not Rampart.
So it's it's just a separate take. Yeah, it's just a separate take.
Okay. Some trickery there. I guess I was going to say maybe we still have the no delivery.
I was like, that's the moment, though, because, like, even so, even though it wasn't no, it hit like a fucking truck. Like, I was like, fuck yeah,
baby. Was that a tech turn? I'm trying to think. Was that a little tech turn that he pulled there to, I mean, it's in space, so there's no gravity, you know, that's not the same. But, like, I think I could call it a mild tech turn.
I could see that. I could see that.
Before the stick, a zeroed gravity tech turn. I wanted him in there somewhere. Negative. So that's how I'll,
yeah, that was
I'll
hard.
Get I'll get
that
tech
was
in
hard.
There. But
no, yeah. Like, so it was just all around a really strong episode. A really simple episode, only came in including credits at about, or without credits at about 21 minutes. If that, it was a pretty short one. It was very, very nice. I loved Omega. This episode just kind of exemplified why Omega is my favorite character in this show. We've rarely seen her as the older person.
Mm.
She's always been the youngling, the person who's learning, the person who needs help. And obviously that's evolved through the last couple seasons, but she still is yet to be around people who are younger than her. And seeing her immediately take on a leadership role and immediately be like, you guys are going to be okay. I've got this figured out. She doesn't, unfortunately. They're not going to make it out. She might. They won't make it off Tantus. They might make it out of this room. But I don't think they're going to fall back on the, you know, Omega escaped once, Omega escapes again. I don't think they'll do that. There's a potential that she's escaping at the same time the Batch is raiding and they, like, run into each other and it's like, Omega, you know, what are you doing here?
That's
what
I feel like is going to happen. It's like, Omega will need help. She won't be able to do it completely on her own, but she'll be already on her way out while they run into each other. And then it'll be like, both sides will have plans and then both... Mm-hmm. Like, maybe Omega's plan looks like they might actually be able to get out. Like, maybe the shaft that we saw, maybe it leads, like, outside, and you can just slide down, you know, and you're in the jungle. It might be worse, I don't know, to go out there, so maybe that's why they don't. But, like, maybe that's where they meet up, I don't know. It's like, they find a shaft, you know, that's their entry point into Tantus is... That
we
shaft
got ourselves
where they
a
meet
little
up.
Shawshank hole. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Yeah, but no poster required here. The wall just, it's very nice that the wall just kind of slides
comes
back
apart.
In. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you got a little screwdriver, it's all you need. The Empire just, I love the like fat and happy kind of explanation of things. Mm-hmm. Like it's like, if people like see that as a gripe of like, oh, that's too easy. Like, look at this. Like, what the fuck? It's like, the Empire just expects that
they won't
prisoners
it.
Will yeah. be prisoners and everything is going according to schedule. And like this new kind of Emery antagonist, you know, I don't know.
The scientist, I don't know what her name was or anything, but
I wonder, we have 2 episodes left. Holy fuck. That's kind of crazy to think about. Maybe 2 episodes. She seemed to be important in this arc a little bit. They're focusing on her, and I think it's maybe she'll just be like the one that's gonna snitch to Hemlock about what's going on or something, or be like, Emery is not, you know, she cares too much, you know, for these kids or something.
Yeah, I could absolutely see that. You know, I think that. It's too late in the game for her to get any sort of arc. It's going to be more likely that she's a diehard Imperial. Emery's loyalties aren't wavering, but she's not full blown like, yeah, what we're doing is great. I love it. You know, She cares too much, like you said. So I could see it being like she goes to Rampart, or not Rampart, she goes to Hemlock and is like, here's the thing, this is what's happening. I don't think she's fit. Now, if that's too little too late, I don't know. That's what's interesting, too, is I don't know how much we've got two episodes left.
Yeah.
And that seems like a lot, actually, sitting where we're at.
On the way to Tantus. They come out of hyperspace. They're there.
We're there. Yeah.
Like,
that means we're spending the next two episodes at Tantus.
The cavalry has arrived. Like, is it possible Tantus is resolved next episode?
No.
Like, that
the
is the culmination.
Arriving is at
the
Tantus.
Culmination has to be Tantus. Like, it can't be.
Yes, it won't be anything else.
The
it
clone
would be
revolution. Everything
yeah.
happens at Tantus next episode, and then the finale, we get a grander. You know, no.
I don't
way.
Even know how that would happen. Like, I don't even know what that would be. And for the conclusion of this show, a show that has been dedicated to its narrative so steadfastly and hasn't really delved into, and I don't have this gripe, but I know a lot of people do. It hasn't delved into the whole, like, well, here's in The Mandalorian, here's Ahsoka, and here's this, and here's that. We're going to have these, you know, we've had side missions, but they haven't been fan service-y side missions, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, in fact, like, the one time you could even argue that was, like, when they went to Ryloth with Hera, and
it's like they almost served the story.
Most fans didn't even like that, or fans, I say. A lot of people were like, what the fuck are we doing? This is a waste of time, you know? Like, so I don't think we're going to get anything that, like, is outside of Tantus in the last episode, because I'd be willing to bet that it is the Batch dealing with this problem next episode. The cavalry arriving is Rex, Gregor, Wolf, other clones. I'm like, that's where my money's at.
Okay. I didn't think about that. It's only the Batch that's arriving to Tantus, and then they'll
and
have
they
to.
They don't know the coordinates.
Mm-hmm. And
then once they're there, they will have the coordinates.
So okay, that's a nice way of. However, the fuck they kept it secret before, and it, you know, it's just the way they had it. You get on the ship, you get the coordinates, you go off, whatever. The fact that they're not stored, you know, the fact that it's not known once you get there. You know, once you take one ship, it's like, wouldn't you? Whatever. It's the way they do it. I don't care. But, like, it kind of a nice way to now, like, now it's known. Like, now it can, it's never been known before. It's known now. I don't know. It's, even though that we're in a strict timeline between movies where we know certain events happened, they still have a very open, I don't know, way of writing. Things in there. And I guess the only big thing that I thought is something we had off mic, an idea of maybe there's like the next step of Order 66, and it's Order 99, whatever you want to call it. But if anyone has an inhibitor chip still in them, they can just fry the brain, kill the clone army gone, and don't have to deal with them
that
anymore.
That stuff's always very complicated too, because through Clone Wars, the way that the chip has evolved is, like, at one point when this idea was developed, I think the inhibitor chip was a literal, like, microchip. Now it's, like, organic. It's, like, grown with the clone in their head. So, like, you know, I guess that all your brain sending signals is electricity, essentially, so it wouldn't be that big of a stretch to say that it could do something like that.
Yeah, a little tooth capsule is enough to, you know, kill someone. I'd say it's believable for them just to be like, yeah, that thing can fry and just, you know, you just see them seize and just drop. Like, that would be, like, we saw the Jedi drop, you know, that was the shock of Order 66, you know, and another half is the whole clone army turning. That is a part that I don't think of a lot of the time. Like, it's always, damn, we lost all the Jedi, but we also lost the clone army as well, but not really. But this would be losing them, you know. Like, if I just don't know.
I think that there's a kind of I don't think they would do that. I do think it's a possibility. I wouldn't put it past the Empire to be capable of something like that yeah. or to have the intention to do something like that. I just think that, I mean, just what a completely and utterly hopeless way to end this show.
That's true. Yeah. It's not been the happiest season, though. Or the season finales have...
Right, but like...
They haven't really been the best. But to end...
To end it with an ultimate defeat. Like, to end it with, like...
Yeah, okay, true.
This is a complete loss. There's no next season. There's no reconciling this. You know, that's been the thing about each of the previous finales, is that, like, at least we can fulfill the mission. We can still do this thing. Now, you know, it's...
Damn.
I do think there will be loss. I do think there will be losses. But the idea that every clone... Because that would have to be a proximity thing, I would imagine, too. I don't know. Like, you know, Rex... I guess Rex already has his inhibitor chip removed, but like...
Order 66, you just had to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like it could just be the same thing. Like, it is just a signal they send out, and if you hear it... Yeah, maybe it could be a proximity. Maybe there is like a fry like on Tantus that they could, you know. Maybe Tantus specifically has one.
That's my thing, is that
Ooh.
Like they deal with clones all the time. It's their
Ooh.
Bag. That could be interesting.
I like that much more. I'd rather it not be like every clone dead across the galaxy. No, it's like since Tantus deals with clones, they have a way of
a fail
just,
safe of some sort, like
just
that,
in case
that
kill them
buy.
All. Because
I
Jedi clone, if the goal is to clone Jedi or force sensitive beings, that can get out of control pretty quickly. So I could see a fail safe just being in place no matter what. Maybe that is just blowing up Tantus, though. Not.
I could also see that it would be a result of whatever Tantus is doing to clones, not the Kaminoan's inhibitor chip per se, you know, like,
that's true. That was a very Kaminoan thing. And, you know, the inhibitor chips came with the clones on Kamino. We're not on Kamino anymore. You know who, I mean,
that's why I'm like, I could see it being like the clones they've experimented on and like all that. If they start to rebel, if they start to rise up, then being like, well, no, you know, like, that I could see that, but like, it's just, it would be so, I mean, that would just be so dim. I don't know. Like what, you know, we would still have Hunter. We would still have, I mean, hopefully Hunter, Echo, Wrecker. I mean, maybe Crosshair.
Crosshair.
Still unclear.
That's
whether...
why it's interesting to me. That's why, if that were to become a thing that popped up in the show, the Batch would be like, we're good. Rexes, we're good. You know, all the people we know that live, they're good. What other clones do we see ever? You know, we had that one straggler in Obi-Wan. I think that might be the only dude other than Boba.
Yeah, Gregor and Wolf with Rex and Rebels.
Like, people that have their inhibitor chip already removed. And, you know, they're accelerated in age. They could have just all died out early. You know, that could be the explanation of why we don't see them in the future. But
I'm like, Rex canonically fights at Endor. So, like, they can live past Obi-Wan.
Okay, that's true. Yeah, Rex does live. Yeah, okay, then never mind.
That's why I'm like, it's... the thing is that, like I said, I don't put it past the Empire to be so evil and so sinister that they would do something like that. I do question whether the writers would be willing to end such a...
Yeah.
I mean, what has been a hopeful show? It has had dim moments. It has had darkness. But, I mean, like, that's the other thing, though, is that we're 2 years into the Empire. The Empire's not collapsing anytime soon.
Maybe,
you know,
the,
like,
threat
is
there,
time.
But they don't actually use it, you know? Like, maybe Hemlock or someone in a control room is like, we have this ability. We're about to do it. and they know, but then the rebellion shuts it down, you know, like Omega or Batch or fucking comes in last second and does. I feel like, wait, where is Batcher? Was he on Pabu?
Like we left, I feel like we left him behind on Pabu.
No! I guess that's probably for the best.
It is.
Yeah, it is for the best.
For the best.
We have other Batchers, you know, other of his kind, his brother and sisters.
Yeah, the other thing, too, is that, like, I'd also be willing to bet it's one of those things where, like, maybe they show up on Tantus and Batcher's there.
Just fuck like, it. Fuck it.
Yeah, like, we didn't see him go with them in either of the last two episodes, but he's there, you know, like, he was just in the ship, you know, like, I could see that. I could see something like that. But, no, I liked the return to the little outpost at the beginning of this episode. It's the one that, Fennec Shand and Cad Bane fought at in season one. It's, I believe that's what it looked like to me. It was like a Kaminoan colony, I think is what it was referred to as in season one.
Okay.
And it's just like a little secret outpost that bounty hunters like meet up, apparently. So Fee being a pirate and dropping them off there, they know about it. They've been there, you know, like it's, I liked that little detail. It's just such a fun interconnected series with such a faithful, it's so faithful to itself and doesn't try to be anything it's not, which is why, like, I mean, I think the Clone Wars, this being the sequel series to the Clone Wars ends with the gut check, you know? That ends with them turning. That ends with Ahsoka having to kill, or Rex having to kill his brothers. That ends with shit like that, you know?
That's the end of a show. No reconciling there, you know. I guess that we knew where we were going, though. We knew where we were going. Order 66 was going to happen. We got it.
That's my thing, is that unless there's a sequel series to The Bad Batch that is yet to be announced, I anticipate that this ends on a relatively light note. I anticipate it gives the clones redemption for what happens in Order 66, for what happens in the Clone Wars. It gives them a second chance. It gives them an opportunity. That's why I'm like, I mean, they could double down on the devastation of the lives that is the clones. I really hope they don't.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to gauge them. Like, it's not a good time. The Empire is, I think the main point is to have the Empire be the bad guy. And you want to have, but at the end, it is, you know, it's for the kids.
But that's the other thing, is the small victory that Omega and Hunter and Crosshair make it out. Like, is that the victory? Is that, like, they
literally just the people without inhibitor chips.
That's
like,
why I'm like,
that
I
might,
don't...
it's the only people, that sadly, it's the only clones we, like, care about.
It's the only clones we know, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, care about that. That's a bad way to put it. Like, we don't want them to die, but, like, it's the only clones we know. It's the only clones we have backstory to. It's the only clones that we know continue or we want to continue. Like, I could see it happening. And I'm preparing for it, you know. I'm being ready for Crosshair. Like, that could be how Crosshair goes. Like, is...
See, and that's the thing, too, is that, like, I think that wouldn't be good. Like, a one-shot ends-all... Fuck it. Like, that would... I mean, I can see it. We've done something like that before, obviously, with Order 66. We've been there. We've seen that. Like, it's... So that's the other thing, is that with that trope, I don't know if they're going to try and flip it on its head and end the clones. I don't know if they're going to, like... That's why I'm like, I just don't know. I don't anticipate that that is something they'd do, but... you know, I didn't anticipate that they'd kill Tech, so, like...
I don't know. Anything is open. You know, I would much rather want a happy ending. I'm kind of just preparing for the worst so that if it does happen, I'm ready for it and I'm expecting it. Kind of Zendaya and or MJ and Spider-Man.
Right.
Little esque, but yeah, I mean the cavalry's arrived. I feel like there's still something at Tanches that has not been revealed yet. Like Hemlock has something in his bag, something in the necromancer that is still yet to be revealed. Maybe it's just who is in the capsules, you know, the red ones that are down below.
Yeah.
I'd be satisfied if that's kind of the big reveal. If it's just look who's in here, look who they have, and it's Mace, just maybe all the masters, like they have the entire like Jedi Council. Like yeah. They have and that's why they were in the circle. They have them in the fucking positions that they even sat in the fucking room. That'd be dirty.
No, that's why I'm like, when it comes to Tantus, I don't know. That is the most interesting idea as far as what they could be hiding. I think that my expectation with the cavalry has arrived is triumphant. I do think that it is. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, that being the title of the episode indicates to me that it would happen relatively early, which means we would face struggle thereafter.
Yeah.
But I do anticipate that that means that a clone force shows up led by Rex and Gregor and Wolf, I expect.
So they don't show up at all next episode then. Because next episode's Flash Strike. We have Flash Strike, and then the cavalry has arrived. So, you know, and titles read into them a little too much sometimes. And a lot of times it doesn't even relate to, like, the main thing. It's like Emery was the identity crisis, you know, and no way we would have guessed that. So, but, I mean, we know we are at Tantus. There's no way we're not next episode. Like, we're there. Omega's already there. We're already there in this episode. The rest of the batch is there. I'm pretty sure the first thing they do is like, all right, let's transmit this the fucking coordinates, you know? Like, why would...
Well, and that's the other thing is that, like, do they... Just because they're there, I don't think that means they have access. Like, they will have to gain access to the coordinates, I think. I don't think that's something they'll just have.
You don't think it's like, you know, they always have those iPads they carry around. That's not something that they could. We're here. We're literally, like, it's our current location. Like, it's, you know, just sending your current location, like, to your, texting your bud, you know, like, dropping a pin sort of thing. I can see that,
but, like, that's the other thing about, like, remember what they did to Kamino in episode 2. Like, it was like, we don't know what's here. We know that was, like, the inverse. Like, they knew the coordinates, they knew something was there, but they didn't know what was there, because there's supposed to be a planet there, but there's no planet, okay. You know, like, So, I mean, I think it's possible for the Empire to do something like that to the technology specifically on Tantus, and because they didn't control the Navi computer to get there, I don't think that, like, that's the thing about Star Wars tech is that it can be anything. It's futuristic, but it's also old. Like, that's part of the idea, you know? Like, it's like there's
it can be the excuse for a lot of things. Like, they can use that as their out. So, yeah, okay.
That's why I'm
that.
Like, I'd be willing to bet that maybe, you know, maybe they storm the shuttle they adjoined onto, and that's how they gain access to it. But, like, I don't know. It seems like...
Yeah, that's a scientific shuttle. That was also an interesting detail that, like, I wonder if something on the shuttle will clue them in to what's going on. Like, maybe there will be, like, a unloading, and it's, like, the caskets we see, maybe, or something like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure in Season 2, Echo and his little force storm a science shuttle, and they're transporting clones. Like, that is more of what they're doing. So that could be, you know, they could have an automatic strike team if that's what we're coming into.
Oh, dude, it's so bad. It's literally, Tantus is like it's a concentration camp. It's, if your blood does not give us what we want, goodbye.
Yeah.
I thought it was just like, let's get as many Jedi Force sensitives as we can, but no, they are taking anyone they can to see if the blood will work. And in the Empire's minds, what better population to start with than the clones, you know,
and the inhuman, quote unquote. Yeah.
Like, oh my God. I mean,
that could be the case. There's also the fact that, like, they took Omega was there for like 6 months, day after day, and they kept taking her blood, but they never got any results out of it.
It's because Nala Se was dumping it out the whole time. She was the one in charge, right?
Yeah. Oh. That means her results were coming back negative, you know? And I don't know if that's because it's Nala Se and she has the authority to be able to be like, well, no, keep her alive, keep her around, she's a good helper, da 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 da. But like, so like, I could see it being something as sinister as that as well, you know, like it is the Empire. But yeah, that's why ultimately, like, when it comes to the evils of Tantus, I think we're pretty well acquainted. I don't think we're gonna go any deeper with just how terrible stuff at Tantus is. I think they're of the mind, they've kind of taken it to the max of what they're willing to do.
They capture kids. And
they imprison kids and keep them. I'm like,
it's pretty bad.
I think that's,
like, already.
Yeah, I'm like, that's
like,
pretty fucking awful.
We're there.
So like, yeah, so that's why I'm like, I don't know how much further they go with that to clarify things. That's why, like, I do anticipate that there is some sort of last-ditch effort to do something, you know, like, I do think Palpatine is probably in one of these last two episodes. I gotta guess maybe it's, we're all convening on Tantus at the same time, same place. That's why, like, I when it comes to theorizing, there's not much more I can do here.
That's true.
We're going to Tantus, and what happens on Tantus is hopefully a victory.
See, was there anything else within the episode that kind of, because we just got Echo back, Rampart, you know, we had a little infiltration, a little bit, you know.
Yeah, I like seeing Rampart kind of be like his prissy self for the
I was a Vice Grand Admiral or whatever, and you've been demoted, you know. That was nice.
Especially considering Crosshair had to work so closely with Rampart, you know, like, that's they were the duo for like the entire first season and into the second season. Like,
that's
they
true.
Worked together. So it was cool to see Crosshair kind of take the initiative and be like, "Nah, fuck you, dude." You know, like, we run this shit now. I absolutely loved that. The
Echo.
Little reminder Hunter gives him, where he's like, you know, remember, these people fucked you over. We freed you.
Yeah.
Just remember that if you decide to double cross us, okay?
Just, yeah, keep that in your mind. Just keep that in the back burner, by the way, bud. Yeah. And because, Rampart seems to be fully ready to dive back in. He doesn't give a fuck. You know, he's like, oh, thank God, I'm back. You know, he's like, I didn't work my way up off my whatever alone, you know, off whatever. He's proud of that shit. So I hope there's a moment where he gets even humbled even more, you know.
Sure hope. That'd be awesome.
But man, really, Echo, the way he sneaks into the ship, it's the goddamn droid shaft thing. Fuck, dude. Like, every time with this dude, every time he's thrown under the, I don't know. I feel so bad for Echo at every turn. Even when he's the one that has to, like, break the encryption, Rampart's just like, oh, is it too hard for you? What, you're not doing good enough? And he's like, dude, fuck. Like, I'm...
Bro.
Come on, man.
Well,
half droid.
What's good is he did volunteer for that job whenever he was like, all right, I'll... And
he's
not detectable
by their scanners?
Yeah. He's more droid than man.
That is so sad. That was like, I just hoped it wasn't true. I was just like, what? You don't show up on the life scanners, man? You know? Like, oh. And then him going up the droid shaft was just like the nail in the coffin. It was just like, boom. Like, dude, I don't know. We got to get, Echo has to have something. He has to.
I don't know. I thought that was a, like, you're interpreting that as him being, like, sunned here. I thought that was kind of a heroic moment
on his part. Yes, he's doing the good thing, but, like, man, they're making him look like a droid at every turn. He needs to have something where it is like, no, a droid could not do this, right? Well, I guess a droid couldn't really do what he's doing. But like R2, yeah. Fuck it. We've seen R2 do some crazy ass shit. A droid could do it. So like, I want Echo to have, I don't know what it is. Maybe he fucking kills Hemlock. He's the one who takes it down with him, you know, going down with the boat. He's the one who gets Hemlock. That's how he goes down. I don't know. He fights Vader. We think he's dead, you know. No. Right. What? Because he's not human, he's alive for a little longer than you'd expect, and he comes back and he fucking Hemlock. He uses Vader's lightsaber to cut Hemlock in half. There's my crazy prediction for Echo. It won't happen, but I would love it.
That's funny. I hadn't taken the things that happened to Echo in this episode as a negative because he volunteered for them and was like the one who was like, I can do that, you know?
Who else, though? Like, who else is going to do that? Who else can't be detected? Who else can plug into the fucking system? Who else, you know, like...
But, like, I feel like you're underselling the value of his membership on the team right
now.
No,
very crucial. But I'm saying, like, he is the droid of the group. And, like, they're making it clear that he is. And very important, you know. Droids are important. I love the droids. R2's one of my favorite. I think he was my 10... technically 11, you know, on the Star Wars list of all time. So I love me some droids, but like I want them to have some, I don't know, some human moments or something that not a droid can do.
He's just been so absent this season, you know. Like there was that moment early on when like Omega ran up to him and gave him a big old hug, and he gave her that new crossbow and stuff earlier in the season.
Death note.
Yeah, no, like I don't think he makes it out of the season. I still don't think he does. I think that I think his human moment will be like a sacrifice play, which isn't even particularly a human moment at this point. We've seen droids do the same, but like,
fair.
There's
typical, stereotypical human moment, yes, I guess. Yes. There, yeah, where I'm going, but yeah, I guess. And I didn't look at it as positive. I only kind of looked at it as like, oh, man, damn, look at what he's doing. So, like, there is the positive side to it. He is crucial role.
He's the only one who's capable of doing that, to your point. But, you know, it almost felt like he's embraced that, you know, like he's owned it. It's like, this is what I'm capable of. This is my skill set. I do this.
I guess if he took it as like, oh, damn, all right, I guess I'll do it, fine. But he was like... No, I'll do it. That's me. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
And that was something I hadn't realized either, is that he doesn't show up on scanners. That's kind of
fucking...
that's
devastating.
Damn. We've got unscheduled droid activity in the cargo hold. I was like, fuck.
Echo's the oh, honey. What did that come from? Was that a...
That was Emma, but priorly to that was How I Met Your Mother.
That's right. The OG, yes. That's the Echo is the oh honey reference here.
Honey.
Yeah, it happens a little too much, and yeah. I need a oh fuck, you know, I need a like fuck
oh,
yeah honey,
fuck yeah,
like yeah. I need one of those for Echo.
No, I would like that too. Would like that too. I mean, I need that kind of for everybody this season. For a season that has been so tense and so full of great moments and so full of a great narrative they're spinning, I feel like this was the first episode we got like a oh fuck yeah out of Omega since episode 3. Like, we got Omega and Crosshair getting their fuck yeah moment when they got out of there. We got a Hunter fuck yeah moment when he's negative, and
Hunter finally getting back in. You know, he's back in the rotation. Hunter and Echo. Big ups this, you know, this episode, which is really nice.
Yeah,
so
like
Wrecker.
I mean,
we need more Wrecker now.
We need a fuck yeah moment for Wrecker.
And Tech. I still haven't gotten quite the funeral I wanted, you know, or quite not like I don't need him to come back and be like, oh, we have Tech again. No, I just need some.
I get that.
Maybe when it's all over, they're like, okay,
epilogue.
Yeah,
I do think it's like, an epilogue thing.
We've got through it. Let's remember our fallen, you know.
And that's why, like, I think Tech's not the last one to die. Like, that will be that there will be a funeral for the multiple dead members of the Bad Batch.
Oh, no. I guess in Pabu, though, you know, we didn't check back in. The Empire was still there. I'm assuming they're still there, but...
Yeah, I guess we don't know. I assumed that they would still be there, but, like,
Yeah, I would just... It would have been nice just to see their
unsafe.
Ship leave. And...
Yeah, it feels unsafe to go back to Pabu because we don't know these things, you know? Like, it's,
Once the Empire knows, it's over. Like, that's that's it. And, oh, dude.
Who knows? Maybe,
Flash strike.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's a military tactical, we are doing this quickly.
Oh, okay. I guess I kind of took it as, like, that's when the clones, like, arrive. That's whenever they're storming Tantus. But I guess the Batch might just be like, we don't have the time. We have to do it now. You know, like... Mm-hmm. It is do or die. Maybe it's they are gonna wait. Maybe they're gonna wait, and then they see Omega, you know, and they're like, "Oh well, it's gotta happen now." And okay, yeah,
you know,
just,
and maybe there's some other sort of thing, like some other unknown faction that's been looking for Tantus that we haven't seen, who we just like happen to run into. Like I could see that happen. Like
I mean.
When it comes to Flash Strike, that is the least
kind of what a
I love when you do
man,
shit like that.
A lightsaber is what I'm going for. I'm going for a sling, you know, a slice of a lightsaber, swing of a lightsaber.
I know, but it's so...
God damn it. I do it too much. I need to understand when I need to be aware of what I'm doing. But no, the swing of a lightsaber could be a Flash Strike, you know. I could see that. But the only lightsabers we're getting is Asajj, Vader, or Palpatine.
And Palpatine, I think Revenge of the Sith is the last time we ever see that man pull a lightsaber.
I don't think we're the only time. Well, I guess in Clone Wars, I guess, you know, to piece up Maul and Vader a couple times.
I hadn't thought about
he had to humble him a little bit. You know, he had to be like, we always kind of forget. You know, Palpatine's an old piece of shit. You don't think he's got it on him like that, but every time, you know, it's just like he's just kind of that powerful. It's a little unfair, but maybe who knows? Nah. Maybe he needs to sun someone up. I don't know. Maybe it does have to happen. I don't think so though. I wouldn't.
I don't think so either. But that's why I'm like, when it comes to next episode, Flash Strike, I take that to be military tactical. Get in, get out. We're doing this as quick as we can. Ultimately, I think the problem here is that I'm of the mind, Hunter, I think the Batch gets captured. They won't be able to succeed by themselves, and that's when the cavalry arrives.
I think little Infinity War endgame here. We end next episode at a very, very low point. The Batch is captured, and then maybe it's like, oh, we have the glue
Echo.
And the Batch, and then all of these abilities combined into one. We have everything you need, Palpatine. That's
Echo
why Palpatine
sends off those
comes.
Coordinates in the last second. That's his big hero moment. You know.
Oh yeah. And the clones, like, you know, the Bad Batch, they were going to save Omega, and that's why the Batch were going. But like, maybe because I was saying, would the rest of the clone army? Rex, I would say yes. Like, would they rescue the Bad Batch and Omega off of just being in Tantus alone? Is that enough to send all the clones to save them? I don't know. It could be. But what could make it a we have to, you know, like we have to do this is like if having Omega and the rest of the Batch gives Palpatine exactly what he needs to have the body he wants and the, you know, whatever the fuck. And then the clones are like, well, we can kill two birds with one stone. We can not give the Emperor what he wants and free every single clone on Tantus. We have to do this. Like, there's no choice. And I don't know. I could see next episode definitely ending like an Infinity War. Like a, oh, fuck. Like, we lost. Like a sort of thing. And then the cavalry arriving is the fucking portals, you know, endgame sort of thing. But okay,
no, that's where my expectation is at, because I think that's, I certainly don't think we end next episode on anything other than a cliffhanger. And when it comes to cliffhangers, they're typically not happy, you know. It's typically not like, hell yeah, can't wait for next week. It's usually like, fuck, I can't wait for next week, you know, like, so I do anticipate, like, maybe not all of them are captured, maybe just one of them. Maybe Echo's not detected. Maybe that's one of those things. Like, he ends up being, you know, he ends up
he
making it out
infiltrate.
Because of that.
He can be the one to go in. He's the Flash Strike. That's their plan. That's the plan. Oh, 100%. That's the plan that they're like, well, we're here. While we're waiting, let's get as much information as we can. We'll all be detected. Echo, go through the fucking... That's where he's going to get in. He's going to get in where Batcher escaped. You know, when they run out, they're going to be like, well, that's the only end we know. I don't know. Maybe Crosshair.
Well,
you know.
I mean, they're on a shuttle that's going to Tantus. They're going to be... They're not going to land in the jungle. They're going to... Well, maybe they'll have to detach so that they don't just, like,
they're
get
on
in
a
there,
different ship.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Do they ride it out until they get into Tantus, or do they detach and then land in the jungle? I feel like it makes sense for them to detach and be like, if we can get these coordinates out in any way possible, we need to do that first. I feel like that's like number one. That is like, I mean, Omega, saving Omega. That's the grand mission, but also priority number one to help save Omega is to get these coordinates out to get everyone else.
That's get the coordinates is episode 14. Save Omega is episode 16 or 15. That's kind of how I'm looking at it. It's like they need to get these coordinates out of there and safe and to someone next episode. We need Omega saved by the end of 15. That is. And I anticipate that is roughly how it'll happen. I anticipate there will be a great deal of strife getting there.
The creatures, they'll land in the jungle. They'll be about to send the coordinates. And then, boom, big creature in the jungle. Their ship gone. No coordinates able to send. They have to go into Tantus to do it. That's the episode. That's my guess, at least. So the creatures can come back in some way, goddammit.
If they land in the jungle, there's no fucking doubt that some creatures will come back. I think that's an inevitability of sorts here. I don't know. It's hard to say where we're going to go from here. I think that it's... We know we're going to Tantus. We know we're trying to save Omega. You know we got to try and get those coordinates out to Rex and his team. How everything in between goes,
I don't know. That's about it. And we got a shaft that Omega can climb up or down.
I don't know.
We don't fucking know where it goes. We got no clue.
I'm guessing up.
Yeah, that's where the camera went. So, assuming.
They also don't really show us what she like saw, you know, what'd you see in there? And she goes, our way out, you know?
Yeah. It's really? Like, do you know, I mean, like,
from what I saw, it didn't look like much of a way out.
It's just a shaft. I mean, it's better than the front door. That's for sure. And all the little laser doors in between, but what are you gonna
do? But were there like wires back there? Like, if she cut some shit, can it deactivate like some of the technology in here? Is that sort of the route they're going? Like, it could be.
Yeah, they're under constant supervision as well. It's like,
This shit's gonna have to happen in the middle of the night.
They're in their rooms. That's true. It's Flash Strike. I don't know. I just keep coming.
This is the most vague episode title yet. Into the Reach gave it a run for its money, to be sure. But I don't really know what to anticipate. I know I'm looking forward to it, whatever it may be. I don't know. I'm excited. The show is
incredible.
Banger after banger every single week. It's absolutely one of my favorite Star Wars shows of all time.
It's better than The Mandalorian season 3. For sure. I mean, we have 2 episodes left. This might beat Rebels. Like, this is, whenever it's over, I don't know. Like, I'm gonna have to rewatch Rebels to know for sure. But this might be the new king.
It does depend on what happens these next 2 episodes, because, you know, if we end it on a, they electrocute everybody with a fucking inhibitor chip, I'm going to go ahead and decide I like Rebels more.
That would suck a whole lot.
No, so like that's the thing, is that like I'm with you though, like as far as strictly narrative, continuous narrative, season 1 through 3, I'm there. It feels like Rebels felt very seasonal. It felt very like, this is the story season 1, this is the story season 2, this is the story season 3, this is the story season 4. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love that show, and it's definitely my top 2 or 3 favorite Star Wars shows. And I think that The Bad Batch has had a similar structure, but it does feel like we have been building to this, you know? Like, we have... I don't know if you can really say that about the end of Rebels. It's kind of different, you know, like it's all of the Rebel Alliance. It's a much bigger mission. It's not so intimate. It is intimate within the family that we've got there. I'm sorry if you can hear my dogs going to town up there. So it's just a different kind of show, you know, like we are galaxy implicating with every mission in Rebels. There's a lot more Force stuff. There's the Force mystery, the Force mysticism, and you know, all that stuff. So, like,
yeah, we get in the world between worlds there, and we have Kanan, like, literal Jedi, Force, Bendu, Maul. Great. Yeah. We go into the weeds.
It's very, very, it feels so much smaller, you know. It is obviously very galaxy implicating if Project Necromancer succeeds, but at the core of the story is the Batch.
To see those patches on all their arms, like up in the, it's like the same one that Pershing has, which is just kind of cool to see. And then I think maybe it popped up in Ahsoka. I don't know about that though. That's the only thing I'm not for sure. I know Pershing had it in Mando.
I don't know who would have been rocking it in Ahsoka.
I think like in Necromancer, like at in the other
galaxy.
Did we see the other galaxy, or was
we did planet Peridia or whatever.
I think maybe it might have been there somewhere, there that logo popped up, but maybe not. I know for sure Pershing though, and then here it's just cool.
Maybe Enoch was rocking it. I don't know, but I don't know. I'm excited to see how the season culminates. I'm super excited that Tales of the Empire comes out a couple days after this. I wonder with the Thrawn storyline there, if that is the tie you've been looking for. Is there a possibility that one of the people who shows up here is Thrawn? You know, like, is that
a young Thrawn or a young, what's her name?
It might be a little too soon.
Magistrate.
Oh, yes. Her.
Hmm?
Yeah, her. I don't know. Can't remember her name.
God dang. She's the other arc in Tales of the Empire. So that feels...
Well, her arc is also the Thrawn arc. That's the one at...
Oh, it's Vera Sophie. That's right. That's the other side of... Right, two arcs there. And it's... So Thrawn and then... Magistrate, whoever, sorry, we can't get her name. And then Barriss Offee's the other side of the arc.
Morgan Elsbeth.
There it is. Oh, my God. M. Morgan. I knew M. Yes. And I'm like, M was not getting me anywhere. Okay.
Yeah, no, it wasn't helping me either. I could see them popping up, though. In my head. But, yeah, no, that's why I'm like, but that's the thing, too, is that, like, canonically, I don't know how deep into the Empire Thrawn is. You know, I just started that Thrawn book.
In the timeline, if we're going with the book time, you know, the canon timeline, it is in between 2 and 3, I believe. Right. I guess the book, it's over on the table. It is out of my reach. My headset wire would not reach it.
I started it today, and Thrawn is discovered by the Empire. So it is after 3.
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay, yes. Yeah, it's right after Revenge of the Sith. That's when the book starts. So Thrawn is,
he would have had to have rose really quickly.
He's not Grand Admiral yet. He
could be a foot soldier of some sort, you know.
Yeah, maybe
Captain Thrawn or whatever the fuck. I'm not anticipating that either. I think it's more likely that like Tarkin doesn't even know about Tantiss. That's the kind of shit we're on here, you know. Like that's I doubt that's where we're going.
It is Thrawn's kind of saving grace, though. You know, it is kind of like, it feels like his back pocket kind of
I think
thing.
That's a big assumption. I think, you know, like, we don't know that for sure. I know we see that in Ahsoka. We see something similar to what we see in this. And I think that's probably not a coincidence. We do have the resurrection stuff that we're dealing with the Night Sisters there. So
imagine
I
if,
could see it.
If he's just, he is great at strategy and everything, and he's just smart. But imagine if why he just wins a lot is because he just has, like, resurrected clones.
Right.
You know, like, he's just resurrecting his armies. I feel like you see a difference, though, between a live person in a zombified.
Yeah, according to Ahsoka, you
know?
Can definitely tell.
So, yeah, that's I'm definitely backpedaling there now. But I didn't think about Thrawn popping up, but I think Vader Vader is more likely than Thrawn, I feel like.
Which is kind of insane, but yes, I'm with that. Mm-hmm. I think that's
and Vader's not likely. Vader's not even that likely. But
like Vader is the only way that I think the cavalry has arrived is flipped on its head for what I'm not expecting. I gotta think that is the Regs showing up to help the Bad Batch, because that is what the Bad Batch would say when they showed up to help the Regs. Like that
mm-hmm.
is
yeah.
It feels like that just makes too much sense. So I could see that. That definitely happens.
It could
I
be
could
both.
See them
like,
flipping
yeah,
it
like,
on its head and like Vader showing up and that being the cavalry. Like that's the other side of things. So, you know, I think we got a lot to look forward to. I love this episode. I'm excited for the last two. I don't have much else to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are just theorizing now. Yeah, I guess we're going down the rabbit hole. But just a nice can't complain. Zero complaints on the show.
Zero. Yeah, no, I loved it. I loved it. And I love Omega. Definitely still my favorite character in the batch, and I look forward to what this
Man, don't you remember,
last two episodes do.
Don't you remember when everyone hated her? When everyone was like, oh, what an annoying part of Star Wars. One of the most worst characters in Star Wars, and now look at her. Look at
those
like,
people still think that, just because they never watched the rest of the show.
That's true. Yeah, they stopped at season one. They wouldn't know.
It's just so pathetic. Like, and that's the thing is that those people would still think she's annoying. For the record, they wouldn't care about the development she's seen.
Nah,
they would
dude,
still think
she's more
annoying.
Of an adult than some of the batch now. She's more of an adult than Wrecker is, dude. She leads them a lot of the time now.
Yeah.
Like, but I see what you're
True.
Saying. Those kind of people would. I see.
You know, they hate a lot of women, regardless of their age.
The logic doesn't follow. I'm trying to make logical of it.
The Bad Batch, it's a fascinating reception it's received, because like I have people I trust and moots I have on Twitter that like they love Star Wars. This just wasn't for them. They don't love the Bad Batch, and I find that fascinating. I can't wrap my head around it. I think that it's a fantastic show, and I think that with two episodes left, it's better than it ever has been. So I'm ready for what's to come. But yeah, with that, I'll go ahead and do the plugs, and then we'll do our music of the week after this. But if you would, head to patreon.com/pennybloompod, where you'll find over 50 hours of exclusive content, book reviews, comic book reviews, movie reviews, and early access content for $1.50 a month. You can support this podcast and get access to all that. You know, if you're looking forward to our action movie project here in a couple weeks, or our Anya Taylor-Joy spotlight here in a couple weeks, you could already have access to it. It's on Patreon, at least a couple of the episodes, not all of it. I don't want to sell it like it's all of it. A few of the episodes, Akira, Emma, and maybe probably not Die Hard by the time this comes out, but that'll be there. John Wick 1-4 is there. That doesn't start till next week. So, like, go ahead and check that out. $1.50 a month at patreon.com/pennybloompod. If you would, head to Twitter, follow at pennybloompod, follow on Instagram and TikTok at pennybloompodcast. Remember to leave a 5-star rate and review wherever you might be listening, and download. That is the name of the game. I would appreciate it greatly. You could also watch on YouTube now. You can watch on YouTube and subscribe. Just look up Penny Bloom Podcast and we should be there. With that, it's time for Music of the Week. Joe, how about you hit me with your album of the week?
All right. Well, I was blessed this week. I have, you can see behind me, if you are watching on video, a vast vinyl collection. My sister's roommate has quite the music taste. This is an album of a song that I knew already. The first song is Smooth Operator, but it is Sade. Diamond Life is the album, And Smooth Operator was the, I don't know, it was the first track. And I remember, yeah, I dropped that needle and I was like, oh, wait a minute. This just happened to be a random one that I swipe my fingers across and I'm like, I'm going to put it on. And then I'm like, oh, hold up. I'm like, wait, I know the song, but I've never heard the original, you know, or just listened to the album. And it was, I don't know, the rest of the album is like that. It's very nice house music, slow, smooth, and then I don't know, some dancing beats as well. There's, I don't know, a lot of variation. It was very nice, but definitely Smooth Operator was the thing that made it stick out, I guess. It was why I was like, oh, this was just was really cool.
And Sade's really good. That's a strong album of the week. Yeah, I love that, you know. And I went a couple weeks back with Lauryn Hill, and then last week I went with Chapel Roan because I went to the concert and stuff. So I'm gonna go a little more modern with this one versus the '90s from a couple weeks ago. Just a 2022 album from the artist Ezra Furman. The album is called All of Us Flames. I've been familiar with Ezra Furman ever since their work on Sex Education, the Netflix series. We actually came up a little bit on our episode about Emma because there's a lot of crossover with the cast. Ezra Furman did the soundtrack, and she is so fucking talented. The level of songwriting and vocal talent that they have is just beautiful. And I didn't get a chance to listen to All of Us Flames because I didn't realize it came out until a couple weeks ago, and I basically had it on repeat ever since. Lilac and Black is a fantastic song. Strongly recommend Lilac and Black. And I mean, the whole album's incredible. So if you get a chance to listen to that, All of Us Flames by Ezra Furman, that's my album of the week.
Hell yeah. And a little, I guess, side story. I've been just my music library, I've been needing to add a bunch to it, and I saw this as an opportunity to do so. So I've been adding every album of this. I've gotten through a cube and a half of this shelf. One and a half.
Damn.
It's taken me about 2 hours to get to that point, and there's about 1,500 songs on that playlist already. So I'm not even close to halfway through. So needless to say, I have albums for quite a while.
You're getting your money up, to be sure.
Yeah, and this guy, he was in a band at one point. This dude loves music. I have every random thing I've put on has been A1. So yeah, it's been very nice. A little music renaissance that I'm going through. But
no,
yeah.
It's nice. It's always nice. I've been, I've been just devouring albums lately. So, I mean, in anticipation of this every week, I want to decide what I want my favorite album of the week to be. And It's always nice to have that sort of sense of motivation. But with that, I think we will conclude this episode of Rebellion's Bloom on the Penny Bloom Podcast. I already did that. I was Colton Robertson. I was joined by Joseph George. Thank you very much, homie.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Oh, and it's always a pleasure to have you. And remember, peace, love, and bloom, and always praise the Bad Batch.